hardly know what to say. Father, I just bless your name as best as I know how. Lord, I thank you for Anthony. I thank you for his heart, for his work in that program, in that whole organization, Lord Jesus. Here's a life that is being spent for you, Lord. I just thank you for the investment in this life and this investment that he puts into others. And Father, I commend this man to us now, Lord. I just say thank you for your word that he will share. Thank you for the words that the others will share, Lord Jesus. We say thank you, Lord Jesus, for feeding us this morning. Mm-hmm. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Paul. Morning, everyone. Morning. Serve an amazing God, amen. Thank you. Probably need Kleenex, not a glass of water, but that's okay. Len, I was here before. We talked about people being a 10 out of 10. Are you believing that today? It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So we're going to try something here. And this side better be the loudest, is that I'd like us to start off and start yelling from here, right? Because he says he inhabits the praise of his people. Is that why that's why we're here. That's the only reason why I come to church, is so that I can worship the Almighty King. I wake up on Sunday mornings, I'm thinking, I get to go serve the creator of the universe and tell people how great he is. No, you can't have my job. So, well, probably, but not yet. So we're going to start over here. And it's not a test, right? You don't have to say anything in particular. Just start yelling and then yelling and then yelling and praising the Lord and yelling. And then we're going to stop. And he's going to be here because his word is true. So let's start. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Okay, we can all go home. I was talking earlier with Brian, and I was talking with Paul, and it was like we're talking about hurts and wounds and healing. God says that he's close to the brokenhearted. Pastor Clint. Anyone else hurt here? Anyone else got some family members estranged away from God? Anyone a little hurt? I know we put on our suits and we put on our smiles and we show up to church, but if we walked down the street and we opened up every door and on our community and people would just be broken. They need the Lord. And today there's miracles beside every single one of you. Some guys are going to share and we just think, well, that's the miracle. Not really. You even being in this pew, representing your family, doing all those kinds of things, you're the miracle. There's people wandering the streets of Vernon today that don't know the creator of the universe. Why do I get the opportunity to know him? I don't know. I have no idea. But today, we're going to celebrate the living God. I'm like Pastor Brian, never spoke to you about your upbringing. I was adopted at 6 weeks old by a Chinese family in Vancouver. Right then and there, my identity was completely demolished. This tall, colored guy living in a wealthy neighborhood with Chinese parents and all white friends. Yeah, I was the tallest guy at 13 at banquets, you know. And we never know what we have until it's gone. And both my moms are passed away. So if you have a mother still alive, today's just on Mother's Day. We think about, like, we only worship the Lord on Sundays, you know? There's certain things that should be constantly on our hearts. The Lord, family, thank you. The Lord, family, mothers. Every single one of us here had to have a mother. Fortunately, men, we can be, nowadays, you don't even need us anymore, except for a little bit of info. You have to have a mother. And every single one of these guys here, I guarantee, will tell you they were prayed in to Teen Challenge. I remember getting a phone call from Paul and his lovely wife. I remember that call, you know? And they believed that the creator of the universe, the almighty God that they served, that there was hope for Joel. I need hope today. I need hope that my kids will follow the Lord. I need hope that today that this is true. And it is, amen. Like without this, this is nothing. This is our Linus blanket. We got to carry this around. We got to bring that everywhere with us. That's got to be foundational in our lives. And that's part about Teen Challenge. A little bit of background that maybe some of you don't know. You know, Teen Challenge is faith-based and a whole bunch of other stuff. But it started because a young polio boy by the name of Michael Farmer was murdered. Now imagine that a ministry that has 1,198 centers in 98 countries because some young men made some poor choices and decisions. That's the kind of God we serve. Over 26,000 beds because God had a plan to change what the enemy thought was for good. God turned it in, in the bad, God turned it into good. And I think that's what we need to hear today, because in our lives that we need some good to be happening. There's so much going on that's just terrible, you know? But God's got a plan. He's got a plan handpicked for every single one of you. He would go and send his son to die on the cross again if you were the only person left in the world. That's how much you are loved today. Now it's hard for me to understand that after all that I've put my family through and myself through and the Lord and blasphemy and everything. I'm a sinner of sinners. But I get to hang out with my dad at the feet of the cross and weep and be that 5 and 6 year old little boy. And I'm hoping that today, that no matter your age or anything, that you would just sit at the feet of Jesus, find a quiet moment today, and thank him for your mom. And whatever else comes to your mind and comes to your heart, we have hope. We don't have hope that's right in front of us. We have hope for eternal things. I'm going to call up Joel, and I'm going to pray with Joel, and Joel's going to share a bit of his story. Come on up, Joel. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think Joel would be here today. I don't think that Joel would think that he would be here today. But God is doing something amazing in his life. He's breaking down walls in Joel's life. He's restoring Joel's life. He's redeeming his family. He's the God of restoration. He's the God of reconciliation. He can do anything when we say yes. Father, I thank you for Joel. I thank you for this steadfast man. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't pass him by. Father, don't pass by us today, this service, God. We want to exalt you. We want to bring you glory, Lord. We want everything off our tip of our tongue, God, to represent how much we love and cherish you, Lord. So bless Joel. Bring your goodness and your faithfulness into this room. And Father, I just speak healing and love and compassion for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, he's right. I didn't ever expect I would be standing here, even being part of this church growing up. I guess I moved away about 18 years ago, and back then, yeah, I never would have imagined myself standing here. I was too sort of caught up in what I was doing at the time, not really looking ahead, not thinking forward in my life. I was, I guess, kind of concerned with the Lord's plan for me, but I didn't know how to get a hold of it. As many of you know, I grew up here. My parents moved here when I was 3. We had a very, very rich musical upbringing. My mom was our music teacher. I started piano lessons at age 6 with Diane Bigger. Many of you know her. Basically studied music every year through to graduation in high school. So piano lessons was kind of like right alongside my school upbringing. And later years we were all sort of just naturally grafted into the worship team here, and my mom was our music teacher in King School, which ran for about 4 or 5 years, and it was part of a very solid foundation that the Lord sort of built in my life. I remember being baptized at the age of 10 on my birthday, Easter Sunday, and that was a very important date for me, and it's remained very close. I was flipping through all my letters and papers and things that I've kept over the years just yesterday, and I found my certificate of baptism in there, and I just thought that was really, really cool to have hung on to that. And I remember there was a point where I think in China, I moved to China and with my wife in 2008, and I knew I was really wrestling. And I guess at some point I felt like I'd had to give my life back over to God for him to take full control. And I wanted to possibly get rebaptized, and I just was wrestling with the question, and then later came into Teen Challenge, and the Lord really strongly said, no, I didn't let you throw your life away. You were baptized at a young age. You knew you were dead to sin, and all through this whole time that you struggled, I was with you. I was carrying you. So it was a reminder. Well, I moved to Calgary in 1997 or so, and music continued to be a part of my life there, and some friends in a church there got together, and we started a record label, and it was the beginning of a real tough time. I think when my mom had cancer before I left home, I started coping with the pain of that uncertainty by turning to alcohol, and I was really not, I guess, sure where that journey would have taken me, and if I'd known where it would have taken me, I never would have started. It wasn't really obvious to me that it was a problem until probably around 2000, 2003 or so, I was hiding it. I had roommates in Calgary at the time who were really into drugs and stuff, and I didn't want any part of that, the harder lifestyle, but ironically I would drink to sleep because they were partying late into the night, and so I became a closet drinker, and I basically had to try and hide it from my wife to shield myself from the shame and the fear of being that weak, vulnerable person. And it wasn't until much later that I realized the guilt of doing those wrong things and the shame of being a wrong person were two separate things. Guilt is I have done something wrong. Shame is I am something wrong. And that's the lie the enemy got me into to trap me into self-medicating. I just want to read a scripture in Revelations 18, beginning in verse 19, says, they will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workmen of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. These it continues. These verses are all what it really felt like as my drinking got out of control. The first thing to happen when God is out of the building is the music stops. I had to close down my record label because of difficult relationships through that process. I was seeking man's glory in it, looking for, you know, that 15 minutes of fame or that record that goes, that sells really well. And we never really got there because we were trying to bring out our glory. So, yeah, we moved to China. My wife and I moved to China, and by this point, there was a real habit in place, and it was wrecking things. I mean, our relationship started out really, really well, but this just crept in and became a difficult area where we were isolating, and codependence, you know, was an issue that we'll still have to work through. But thankfully, the Lord is working in both of our lives and equipping us in our separate respective places to come together again. And interestingly enough, worship is and music is the first thing that started coming back. I never would have expected that. I mean, I knew when I got to Teen Challenge that I would want to be involved in the music somehow because that's where the Lord had my heart. But I never could have anticipated feeling equipped and the call to be obedient and serve in worship and give the glory to Him for this gift. And now I'm with some of the other guys, we're playing all the time. Every week we're leading worship, you know, twice, two or three times sometimes, playing up and down the valley and leading worship in different churches. And everywhere we go, we cross paths with someone who's kind of part of this community, loosely part of the VCF history. And it's just such a blessing to minister and to be part of what's happening in the Okanagan again. And I just want to share one other thing. As I was leaving, packing up to head to Teen Challenge after the very difficult and sort of swallow my pride decision came through, my wife's mother shared a word out of the book of Joel. It's in verse, it's Joel 2, verse 24. And it was really, I guess I wasn't really fully conscious of it at the time, but when the word came to her, it spoke to my parents as well. Something there was like click, and they both agreed. And it says, Joel's talking about how the army of locusts is just destroying the crops, and it's, I guess, He saw it coming, and what he said was in this particular verse, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust, this locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And there was a point a couple of months into the program where one of the other guys, his dad was in town visiting, and some of the guys were getting prayed for. This guy had a real gift of prophecy, and he was just being obedient, kind of very careful, and praying over some of the guys who wanted prayer. And he just kind of picked me out of the back because I was standing next to the wall. And he said, "Are you staff or student or what?" And I said, "I'm a student." So he said, "Come on over," and pulled me into the center of the room. And he started praying, and just all these confirmations of gifts and things were coming up. And he was praying about, you know, I have this image, it's like you're behind something here. You need to just step out and be in front. And it really spoke to me about, you know, the shame thing. And so this whole process of being vulnerable and, you know, not self-medicating or coping has been really rewarding. Talking with these guys, just fellowshipping, being really honest about where we're at and just admitting when you screw up and do dumb things. I mean, it's stuff you got to learn, you know, all through life. And well, the funny thing was, as this prayer continued on, and one of the other guys started sharing, he opened his Bible and started reading this exact verse again. And it was just confirmation. And one by one, every week, every day, in a sense, there's been just the most amazing confirmation that this is the right place, these are the right guys to be with, the right place to be in service to him. And, of course, he will restore. I have one other verse. I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Around the time that the Lord was speaking to me about this baptism stuff, a couple of scriptures popped out, and I was reading a book by Neil Anderson. I can't remember which one it was, but he pointed out some scripture in Colossians and Ephesians. It's almost a mirror image of each other, these two passages. I'll just read the Ephesians one, if I can remember where it is. So Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that just kind of answers that scripture in Revelation. When God's back in the building, the music is the first thing we want to do. And so who knows where the Lord is taking me in this 6 more months. I'm halfway through this program. But every spare minute I have, I just want to worship him and sing and share that gift with these guys who all love to worship. Come out on a Wednesday for our chapel at 9 o'clock and listen to these guys all sing. Just to fill a chapel with the passionate voices of a group of men searching for him is such a blessing. So, thanks for having us.
Joel, I really appreciate you. You've been a great addition to the team, and you've never complained when we've asked you to stand up and lead the men, even in short times and no notice when people have been sick. Really appreciate that. Joel and I had an opportunity to go to the Gospel Mission and worship there for 2 engagements on the same month, and it was really powerful. You got to go to a place where you think that the Gospel Mission, like everybody is a believer. That's not the case. Like, we went there and some people weren't. And to see how worship breaks down walls. And if you read the Bible, as you all do, and God sends the worshipers out first. Sometimes you didn't even need to fight. Sometimes you didn't even need to pick up a sword. The worship did it. So continue to do that and continue to listen to praise and worship music. I find myself making sure that I make sure that the radio's turned off. I got to turn it off and put a CD in because we don't get any Praise 106.5 up here. And it's a challenge sometimes for me, is to make sure that there's praise and worship music on. Joel just touched on it. Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pastor Clint's come out a few times to preach. 9 a.m. On Wednesday morning is a great time to come and fellowship. I catch a ride with the Danielsons. They're pretty much there every Wednesday. And it's an opportunity to see what you're sowing into, the facility and those kinds of things. And it's a good midweek pick-me-up. You guys got a brochure when you came in. It talks about Teen Challenge and all that information. We'll be at the back where our board is, and we'll talk about it later. And and all those kinds of things. But I want to thank you for partnering with us, not just financially, but there's some of you that are at our golf tournament this month and May the 27th, and other you partner with us in prayer, and some people bring food, and other people pray from a distance. But without that, Teen Challenge doesn't exist. And you have a part in the victory of these men. You really do. You have a part in the story, the love story that's going on for them, where families are being restored and brought back. The greatest gift that I ever have is at graduation when a mother comes to me and says, I have my son back. I have my son back, you know? And it's like, I didn't have anything to do with it. It's not Teen Challenge. It's not four walls. It's not the chapel services. It's the Almighty Creator. And He loves us. Allow us to go through those peaks and valleys, you know. Without those peaks and valleys, sometimes I just stay up here. And if you walk around or drive around the valley, you'll notice that the fruit grows on the valley floor. It doesn't grow on the mountaintops. It grows in the valley. So we praise Him through everything. And that's the beauty of praise and worship. We want to praise Him no matter what's going on. I'm going to call up Charles and give Charles a big round of applause. He's never shared before. He's a little nervous. And he goes, do you ever get nervous? I'm like, dude, I'm nervous now. You know, like, we had a baptism on Thursday the 10th. He remembers because Charles got baptized. Andrew got baptized, and so did Josh, and more guys are getting baptized. We had a course called Father Heart of God. Ian Ross comes and gives it. The guy's just amazing. You know, it's so good to have godly men show up and partner and mentor. So if anyone's looking to get a part-time gig as mentoring, come by Teen Challenge. We would just wrap our arms around you, hang out with these guys, see what the Lord's got in store. I'm going to pray for Charles, and it's probably three Sundays ago, I walked into Charles's dorm and he didn't want to get out of bed. He wanted to go home. And today he goes, I want to share my testimony, you know, because that's what God's doing in his life. And I remember his parents bringing him to Teen Challenge. He loves his mom. You know, his dad brought him, and they brought him, drove all the way, and just like prayed and released him to us. And it's been a real tough struggle for him. He's had some really ups and lows, low lows. So for him to be here and proclaiming the goodness of Jesus is a miracle. Yeah, right on. Father, thank you for Charles. Thank you for the family that he represents. He represents everybody in this room. He represents your goodness in our lives, our touch, God. May we never lose focus of that. May there be a tangible touch of you, God, today in our lives. A tangible stroke on our brow, Lord. That we would leave this place changed and transformed for your glory, God. To take back what the enemy has stolen, God. That we would lift up your name, God, in everything that we do. So I pray your blessing and your anointing upon my brother, Charles. And that, Father, you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Howdy. How's everybody's morning going so far? Well, I'd just like to start off saying that I was born in a little northern town in northern BC. It's called Fort Nelson, BC. I grew up in another little town 2 hours north of Fort Nelson, BC, called Fort Liard. That's in the Northwest Territories. I'm just going to get right down to the nitty-gritty. Well, I fell into addiction when I was in grade 8. I was 13 years old. That lasted for 7 years until I was 20. Well, I'm 20 right now. My addiction caused a lot of problems with my family. I got kicked out of the house. I lost my apartment. I became homeless. Just living on the streets was just a big burden. The only way I stayed happy every day was to drown my sorrows in booze. That's the way I got out of reality, out of what, I don't know, but... But yeah, no, I wasn't really a Christ follower. My parents are. My stepdad is a Christian guy, and my mom got saved when I was 13 years old. They were trying to get me in church ever since I was 13. Yeah, but I didn't go. So my mom said I was like Jonah and the whale because I didn't hear God's call at a young age, but, you know, I just didn't listen. I just wanted to get high and stay drunk all the time, and that's what I did. But, yeah, it was just recently, actually, that I found the Lord. That was on Thursday the 10th. Like, I knew who the Lord was, but I received the Holy Spirit on the 10th. It was 2 hours later I got baptized, actually. Yeah, no, I just broke down crying, and it was crazy. Like, I was sat outside, and the first thing I turned to was John 14:15, it says God promised to give the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I did receive the Holy Spirit. Boy, am I nervous. But, yeah, I know I struggle with a lot of different things, anger. My temper plays a big role in my life. But ever since I got prayed for, my anger stopped. Like, I don't really got a temper anymore. I just, first thing I do is open to the book of Proverbs, and that's where I get all my wise teachings, I guess. There was one time when I was kind of angry, had a temper, and then the first thing I looked at was Proverbs 23:26, and it says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes enlighten my ways." I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant until the 10th. And then I was like, right on. I guess God had me in his checklist book, I guess. It says, okay, Charles Heron, you're checked off. You're going to get baptized today. You receive the Holy Spirit. And so... And so, yeah, like, I don't know what it is, man. Like, me receiving the Holy Spirit, it's such a blessing. Like, I never felt this way before. Even though when I was on the streets, I knew God was with me. God was there with me when I was getting beat, when I had my addiction. God was with me all the way. I don't know. It's so awesome, actually. Like, I was praying for this for a long, long, long time, that I can finally get out of my addictions and love the Lord. It's indescribable, the love that our Father gives to all of His children. And then I've never felt the love that God can give. Like, I knew my mom and stepdad loved me, but I felt more loved when I found out who God was and what a role He played in my life. And, you know, it's awesome. You gotta love the Holy Spirit, man. He's he's an awesome man. Yeah. But, yeah, this is my first time sharing my testimony, and I am a bit nervous. But I know coming to Teen Challenge, I'm going to have to say my testimony more than once. Yeah, no, that's all I got to say, is that the Holy Spirit he's alive in me today. God too, like, it's funny, man. Like, I write my devotions, like, to pray for my brothers to have a good day. And, you know, God answers my prayers. Like, for the past couple of days, all my brothers have been getting along. And it's awesome. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say was, God did save me. He took me off the streets. He took away my addictions. He sent me to this place called Teen Challenge. Well, you know, I called Ontario's Teen Challenges, Saskatchewan's Teen Challenges, and Alberta. You know, I don't like the prairies too much. I like the mountains. Yeah, but God did send me to the garden, man. Like, it's crazy. I never seen an apple tree in my life. I never seen a pear tree in my life, and I just can't wait until all those trees bear fruit. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm just happy that I've been saved, and yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Don't forget your blanket. Pretty amazing, huh? For some of you who think that the light will never go on in your family member, that's what happens. That's what happens when the creator of the universe, our loving Father, gets a hold of an individual. And you guys all have a part to play in that, because we didn't come here and the guys weren't able to share and they weren't able to get out of their comfort zones, and you didn't pray with us and partner with us. We all have a little intricate piece of the puzzle. So thank you. You know, the power of God is truly at Teen Challenges is the transformation in guys' lives. It's the change that happens. It's just the ugliness that goes on. And I hope that after we're finished, that you would actually gather with us and tell us a little bit about your story. Let us in on what's going on for you. I'm going to call up Colin, and Colin's going to share. Come on up, Colin. It's Colin's second time, too. I was looking at Colin the other day, and the guys go to rec twice a week. They eat very well. We're going to Danielson's to eat today. Hallelujah. And I think he's probably put on like 20 pounds. And it's just amazing to see how what happens to guys. It's a blessing. I have the greatest job in the world. I really do. To be able to see it all the time. So come by and hang out with us and be part of. I'm going to pray for Colin, and Colin's going to share. Father, thank you for what you're doing in Colin's life. Thank you loved him enough to send your son to die. Thank you for the cross, God, and I pray your blood and your blessing upon Colin as he shares, Lord, that through Colin there would be hope and there would be peace and there would be power in your name, God. So thank you, Lord, in advance for the great things you're going to do through this guy. Thank you, Father, for his family members that stand alongside with him. His mom and dad came to see him on family visit day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing that family back into alignment with you. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. All right, so my name's Colin. I'm 19 years old, and I'm from Edmonton, Alberta. I thought I'd start with my story at the age of 8, because that's when a lot of stuff in my life was going on. My mom was diagnosed with lupus, and shortly after, my parents split, and there was just a lot going on at that period of time, and it's interesting when there's really dark moments like that, and when things are really uncertain, that's when usually God comes in. And shortly after that, we ended up finding a home church, and that's when I first met Jesus. And that was really, really cool. It's funny, the home church that we ended up going to, my dad and I found by accident a while back. And when we first showed up there, you know, we didn't know what to expect, but, you know, we saw one person prophesying and one person praying in tongues, and we weren't sure what to think. We're like, you know, this is crazy. But, yeah, anyways, later on, my mom ended up going to the church, and we all went as a family. Like, well, my mom, my sister, and I. And we got really involved there. My sister and I went to Sunday school. As we got older, we got involved in the youth group. And, I remember just being really on fire for God at that point. And I felt my relationship with God was pretty strong. As I got to about the age of 14, there was some other stuff that I was dealing with. I was molested, and that was a big negative situation that I had to face, I guess. I felt really angry with God. My self-esteem went out the window. Basically, that was a very hurting time. Since I was angry with God, I didn't really go to him to deal with the pain. I decided to start smoking pot, and then that's when the drugs kind of got involved in my life. It was an escape for me. I didn't realize I was escaping with it. I just thought it was, you know, something to do, but I was just masking a lot of the pain. And my identity eventually resided in my drug use. So when people would, you know, down-talk drug use, I didn't feel they were down-talking the drugs. I felt they were down-talking me, because it was the only thing that I really felt whole with at the time. Going into high school, my drug use, I felt, helped me, because I was able to get a whole lot more friends. I felt like I was wanted. People wanted to hang out with me. You know, I felt like I had a bigger circle of people to hang out with at the time. And, you know, it all seemed like fun and games at the beginning, but it, you know, quickly went downhill. By the time I was in grade 12, I was a heavy coke user, and I was into Oxycontin, and then eventually physically addicted to heroin. And everything was falling apart. My relationship with my family members was falling apart. My little sister couldn't look at me anymore, because she didn't like the person that her brother turned into. My relationship with my mother fell apart. Basically, lots of arguing and lots of lying, deceiving. And at one point, my mom saved a whole bunch of money, savings bonds for me to go to college, spent that all on drugs. I was living a selfish lifestyle, didn't really seem to care about anybody but myself. I had really fallen away from God. I pretty much denied my faith for a period of time. Then there was a point where I knew I wanted to make some changes in my life, so I went into detox. It was a youth detox program. It was good counselors and whatnot, but, I mean, I was there for 10 days, and within 6 hours of coming out of there, I was using again. So that really didn't do a whole lot. My family and I were really naive. We thought 10 days would be enough to kind of adjust my life, but, you know, it didn't really do a whole lot at all. After I fell that time, things got a whole lot worse. My use got a lot worse. Physically, my body was breaking down. I was getting really skinny. Just people that were close to me just didn't really want to have a whole lot to do with me anymore. I just wasn't the same person. What happened was, is I was 18 at that time, and then I remember chatting with my dad, and my dad said, we got to do something about this. Obviously, the first time didn't do anything. You know, we got to take another shot at this. We can't give up quite yet. So we ended up going back to that youth detox, because we were having trouble with me getting into an adult program at the time. And basically, we just went there desperate, and we said, I need a place to go. I'm not going to stop using unless I'm able to stay somewhere for a period of time. So they let me in there. And then after I was done the detox for that 10 days, I'll go to my experience in the detox that time. Basically, there was just a point where I was just so broken. I was just thinking about all the times I kept screwing up. And I remember just saying, God, you know, where are you? You know, like I basically shunned you out of my life. I want you back. Like, I want you to you know, fix me. I want to see you again. And it was funny, the day after that, a counselor came in, and she was a Christian. So we ended up having a really good God talk that time. And yeah, so I went through that, and it was by the grace of God. I managed to stay clean until I went to the residential program for 3 months. And in there, it was a really awesome experience. I felt, you know, I was reading my Bible. Things were going well. I was praying and spending time with some of the other clients that were there, talking to them about God. And then I graduated the program, and I thought everything was going to be okay, and everything was, and I was pretty much able to stay clean for just about 8 months. And I went to a concert with one of my buddies, and it was Roger Waters' Pink Floyd concert, and basically one drink led to me back at the dope dealer's house again. And then I guess just at that point, I just really didn't really see much hope left at all. And I just went right back out. You know, I tried to keep it in secret, but you know, you can only hide that for so long before, you know, parents are wondering why you're losing so much weight again. Why are you, you know, sleeping until 4 in the afternoon? Why aren't, you know, you showing us any respect and whatnot? And so, yeah, things kept going downhill for that while. And as it progressed, you know, I guess my family had been praying for me. My stepmom, she told me that she kept on praying for me and praying for me and praying for me and saying, like, God, why isn't, you know, Colin getting his life together? And my stepmom told me that God said to her, you know, I got this, you know, like, there's work being done, you know, don't be afraid, like, you know, well, Colin is going to be looked after. And then I just remember being with my dad at the gym one day, and I just remember seeing such a hopeless look in his eyes. He just didn't know what to do. There was nothing he could really do at that point anymore. He didn't know what to do to help his son. And I thought, like, something in my heart just broke, and I basically said, okay, I'm going to take one more shot at this. And I decided to, you know, go to medical detox again. Right before I went into medical detox, though, there was a situation that happened when I had let my drug dealer drive my car, and he totaled it. And I was thinking, God, I already decided that I was going to go into detox. Why did my car have to get totaled? But that whole situation, long story short, it totally disconnected me from all those guys. There was, yeah. So none of the drug dealers wanted to have anything to do with me. And I thought about it after. If I were to go into medical, I knew if that didn't happen, I'd probably be out there again. But God, you know, it's just a car, right? So. Yeah, so, that was kind of my saving grace there, and I was able to stay away from the heroin for just about 3 months before coming into the program. But right near the end, there was, to talk about how I wanted to go into Teen Challenge. Basically, even though I wasn't using the heroin, like, I still felt empty, I still felt just broken, and I remember saying to my dad, I'm like, just because I'm not using doesn't mean I'm happy. Just because I'm not using doesn't mean I feel whole still. And I really just wanted to mend my relationship with God. So basically, one night I was up and I was watching a testimony online, and a guy mentioned Teen Challenge in it. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe it's worth giving it a shot. My parents have tried to talk to me about it before, and I just shut it down. As soon as I heard it was a year long, just, I wasn't interested. But I went online, I went to the BC Teen Challenge website, and I went to the application, just filled it out, and I think it was maybe even like 2 days or a day after that, I got a call, and they said, you know, you're able to come in. So that was pretty awesome. And I just remember, I heard quite a bit about Teen Challenge, and I guess I was kind of scared to go in, like, initially, like, before going in, and I had ended up drinking and whatnot right before coming in, and I remember almost feeling scared, because I knew going to Teen Challenge, I wasn't going to come out the same person. And I almost felt like I had to get the last ones in. I know it's, yeah, so I know it's not right, but that's just where I was at. And yeah, so coming into Teen Challenge, I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, as soon as I walked in, I just felt welcomed. Like, all these guys here, I love them a lot. They're really good guys, and I just feel at home. Everyone looks out for another. It's just true, honest relationships. And it's really interesting, too. Like, just, it's just kind of a weird feeling I get every once in a while. Like, I've told some of the guys about it, but when I look around at some of these guys, I felt like I've known them for such a long time. And I just really feel God saying to me, like, you're where you're supposed to be right now. Like, I brought you to Teen Challenge, and, you know, just live it day by day and just let me do the work, right? So, yeah, no, I just feel God doing lots of work in my life. I'm just constantly having to put my pride down and just giving it up to God. And, yeah, I'm just excited to see what happens in the rest of my time at the program. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm over there laughing because you should come and hang out. It doesn't always go that smooth. Usually it doesn't go smooth. But we're kind of in a weird situation right now, and I know it sounds weird, like Teen Challenge. You think of Teen Challenge, you're thinking teens, right? We've only had one 17-year-old where our ages are from 18 to 45. And we take people that are a little bit older. It's pretty rigorous. I mean, it's very strict for someone who has ran his own business, been the head of his household, been given lots of responsibility, and then totally changed your whole thinking. Right now, we have the youngest group that we've ever had. Kyle's in his early 20s. Colin's 19. Andrew's 21. Josh is 21. Charles is 20. Like, that's amazing. I got to Teen Challenge when I was 34. I'm 45 today. Not today, but I'm 45. And I challenged the young people. I had a guest over to my house yesterday, and he's like, that calling guy, he's like the nicest guy. Whatever happened? The enemy doesn't care what you look like, how old you are, what's going on. He's here to kill, rob, and destroy. That's it. And today, we stomp him out in Jesus' name. We're not going to put up with him anymore. Forget it. Absolutely not. We're not going to put up with that lie anymore. And I challenge men in this room to take their rightly priestly position in their families and in their communities. Not anything that we've been given by man, but by God. And that's what we want to do with these men, is raise them up so that they're leading men and leading their families so they don't have to come to Teen Challenge. There's nothing wrong with Teen Challenge, but I'd rather not have you guys be at Teen Challenge. I wish there wasn't a Teen Challenge, but there is. So it's only by the power of God that these lives are being changed, and I commend all of you for pouring into it. We're going to finish off with Romans 5, the joy of being right with God. Now that we have been made right with God by putting our trust in him, we have peace with him. It is because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. By putting our trust in God, he has given us his loving favor and has received us. We are happy for the hope we have in sharing the shining greatness of God. We are glad for our troubles also. We know that troubles help us learn not to give up. When we have learned not to give up, it shows we have stood the test. When we have stood the test, it gives us hope. Hope never makes us ashamed because the love of God has come into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you don't know the Lord in this room and you'd like to grab one of the elders, a pastor, someone, Brian, the team, and meet with him. It's imperative that we have an authentic relationship with Jesus. We're just scratching the surface at Teen Challenge. They're just spending a year, hopefully, to get their lives on solid foundation. That's it. And then the real test is when they're in your church, when they're rubbing shoulders beside men, having real life situations come along, and that's when the rubber meets the road. I know that you know how difficult it is to live in the world today, but how much more difficult would it be without the hope we have in Jesus? How much more difficult would it be if we didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us so we could say yes and amen and no to that? Brian, you want to close? Thank you for having us. It's amazing to come here and to be part of this church. I get excited like weeks in advance that I know that I'm coming here. I get start jumping. I actually, you know what I wanted to do when I was over there in the corner? I wanted to just do jumping jacks all the way up and down here. Like, that's how amazing God is, you know? I just want to do, like, I got this little dance I do at the center, and I want to dance all the time, but I just can't get out of the 45-year-old body, you know? Pray for healing, Brian says. So thank you for the partnership and for allowing us to come to share. I look at Charles and the Colin, they come to share. They're nervous, but they know that there's something in them that just wants to proclaim the gospel. Go out and proclaim the gospel today and for this week and for those who may shun you. It's on Jesus' shoulders, not yours. Thank you.
I just asked Callie to come up because before the service, he shared a picture, a word he had, and he's talking, it was about prodigal. I think it's about restoration as well. It really fits in. After that, we have a three-minute video from North Okanagan Pregnancy Center that sort of ties in with the Mother's Day, and we're going to give out some carnations after that. The Sunday school will do that. Donna mentioned in England, they call it Mothering Day. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, short story. I have an orange tree. Kept it in the house. I started it about 13 years ago, and it's had a hard life. And lack of water at times, you know, so it's a bit of a dwarf. But over the last, we got a cat about 2 years ago. And this cat, every once in a while, he would have a leaf in his mouth and he'd take it over to his food dish and he'd drop it there. Over the last couple years, this tree has lost every leaf. This was probably about 3 months ago that I put it outside, and I think, well, that's the last leaf, you know. It's not going to grow anymore without leaves, right? So I put it outside in the frost, sat on the deck till yesterday. We were doing some yard work, and pulling weeds, and I thought, well, I'll just pull that tree out. So I reached over, and there was a bud on the tree. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I said to Laura, I said, isn't that just like God? And then last night I was laying in bed and the Lord spoke to me about that tree. Just got to find it here. I think that's a picture of, we all know someone. Over time, the enemy has stripped everything off of these people. And I look at you guys, and it's just amazing. And a lot of us have actually written these people off. And today I just feel like putting out a call for anybody that knows someone who has been written off. And the verse that the Lord gave me was Job 14:7, when he talks about a tree having hope even though it is cut down and the stump is rotting. At the scent of water, we have the scent of water here today. It will bud and sprout again like a new seedling. So I just want to ask anybody that knows somebody like that just to stand up. And I'm just going to pray. And the people beside them, just put your hands on them, and we're just going to pray. Lord, you bring these pictures for a reason. And we know that you never, ever, ever, ever give up. I know that you haven't given up on me. I know that there's no way that you would ever, ever give up on anyone. So, Lord, we repent of the attitudes toward people who just look like they're never going to change. And we say, Lord, when it looks dry and crusty, bring forth a shoot, a new shoot. Make a new seedling out of these trees that you have planted, and cause them to become mighty oaks of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus.